We're continuing with Koheles. Shlomo HaMelech had said he was going to explore what's wrong with wickedness, foolishness, lightheadedness, and boredom. And then he said, wow, I found this woman, this promiscuous, seductive woman, to be more bitter than death. So it would seem the connection is, as the Talmud says in Tractate Kesubos, that if one marries a wealthy woman who brings with her many servants, so she says, why do I have to do any work? I have servants who will do everything. And he can say, no, I'm sorry, honey, you got to do something during your day. He can ask her to weave stuff. He can ask her. There are certain things he can ask her to do. He can't ask her to do demeaning jobs, but he can ask her to do stuff to keep herself busy, because the Talmud says, Shiamum evili dezima. Boredom leads one to promiscuity, to illicit relationships. So boredom isn't healthy. We all know what happens when our mind starts wandering in front of the internet late at night. It doesn't wander to positive things. So Shlomo HaMelech says, I was wondering, what's wrong with wickedness? What's more wicked than a person cheating on his wife? What's wrong with foolishness? We know that foolishness is one of the ways. Foolishness is important. When a person is with his own wife, so then people are supposed to be joking with their wives, lightheaded with their wives. The Talmud says Rav would never say a word that wasn't Torah. Rav, the Rabbi Rav, the disciple of Rebbe, the nephew of Rebbe Chia, Rav would only talk Torah his whole life. And yet one of his disciples was there once, hid under the bed when Rav was going to be intimate with his wife, and suddenly he hears Rav joking around with his wife like a teenager. And he was so shocked, the holy rabbi. How come you're joking with your wife? Rav said, what you doing? And he said, I have to learn from you, so I want to learn this too. So Rav says, yeah, but this isn't Derech Eretz. Right? What you doing there? But we do have this insight that even Rav, when he was with his wife, would joke around with her. Yeah, that's part of what happens before a couple's intimate. There's a certain amount of lightheadedness and joking around. Ah, but Shlomo HaMelech said, what's wrong with foolishness? Yeah, if it's used improperly, it could break down boundaries that should be there. A person shouldn't be drinking a beer with a girl he's taking out on a date. Lightheadedness doesn't belong in that relationship. They have to maintain the boundaries. What's wrong with boredom? Well, boredom leads a person, like we quoted from the Mishnah in Ksubos, it leads a person astray. So all these things are unhealthy. And then Shlomo HaMelech says, I found this woman to be more bitter than death. If you're a God-fearing person, you escape those ills. So that's one understanding over here. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Now, you realize that people will sometimes play games with this pasuk. They'll just quote the pasuk without the continuation. I found the woman to be more bitter than death. Sure, which woman is he talking about? Wow. He also talks about Eishes Chayil. It's the same Shlomo HaMelech. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Re'eze matzati amera kohelet. Shlomo HaMelech says, look what I've come across. Look what I've stumbled upon. Achas lachas limtzoi cheshbon. The righteous people do mitzvos one by one and they all add up. That's like the Medrash we quoted earlier this week about the little coins that a person gives to tzedakah before davening, and they add up to a huge sum when he comes to the world to come. Suddenly he sees all these mitzvos he accomplished when he wasn't even thinking. But the same goes for the wicked person. A person does averos if a person isn't conscious of how they're behaving. So we heard earlier tonight that people sometimes trample all over a salesperson's feelings just because they think he's got a job to do. So there are little sins that people can ignore and forget and overlook, and those also add up to a huge, huge bill. Amera Kohelet. So Kohelet here could mean Shlomo HaMelech. That's his code name in this book. Kohelet could mean the gathering of wisdom. Kohelet could mean my soul, who has gathered all this information, all this wisdom. Asher oid biksho nafshi veloi matzosi. Aside from what we've just discussed, one of the things that I've searched for, I searched Adam echad me'elef matzosi. I found a man among a thousand. V'yishav echol eile lo matzosi. And among a thousand women, I didn't find one to be righteous. So men are one ahead of women. It's not like we're so much better off. He says 999 men are improper and 1,000 women are improper. So there's not such a big difference. Our sages say if 1,000 people learn Torah, so then 100 of them are fit for going into Mishnah. 100 go into Mishnah and 10 are fit for learning Gemara. 10 go into Gemara and only one comes out to give halachic ruling. So it's 1 out of 1,000. And so if that's the understanding, so then women don't have that responsibility. That's not what he's talking about. That's the madrich, I don't know. I think upstairs you have in the tea room there are cups you can just wash. Shlomo HaMelech says over here, when I try to analyze things of value, there are two ways to see the value in something. Almost everything I looked for, I could only find its value by comparing it with the opposite. If I want to see the value of righteousness, so I have to see what wickedness leads to. I don't see righteousness as a positive thing in its own right. Shlomo HaMelech was describing how whatever he looked at, he couldn't see something that has its own intrinsic value other than a human being. He says, when I met a righteous human being, 1 in 1,000, then I found something that I could see the value in without seeing the contrast. Without seeing something else. But he says, but in women I didn't find it. Meaning the only way I could see the value in my relationship with a woman was in seeing all the women that I did not value their relationship. So Shlomo HaMelech's relationship with women is different than his relationship with men. He says in his relationship with men, only 1 in 1,000 could he find that he felt held his own weight as someone. And among women, he couldn't even find one. But that's indicative of something. So there's a medrash here. There's a medrash I never saw inside. I heard it quoted. I don't know where it's written. That when Shlomo HaMelech was in his final years, where Shlomo HaMelech lost the throne, and Shlomo HaMelech was walking around like a pauper, as we'll see the psukim indicate. So he came across a woman, and he told her, "I am Shlomo, I used to be king." And she initially didn't give too much weight to what he said. And then at one point she said to him, "You know what? If you're really Shlomo, then you deserve what you got." And he says, "Why? What did I do?" And she says, "You wrote in the verse that a woman, you couldn't find one righteous woman among 1,000. So if that's what you write about us women, so then you deserve it." So Shlomo HaMelech said to her, again, this is a medrash I heard quoted. I did not see it inside. Shlomo HaMelech said to her, "But I did it for you." So the woman said, "What do you mean? You did it for us?" Shlomo HaMelech said, "I wanted to lower man's expectation of women. I figured if I can lower his expectations, it's in your interest. That's the Medrash I heard quoted. He said, this way, every man will be happy with what he's got, and he won't think, oh, there's something better out there. He'll learn to appreciate what he does have. So again, this is I don't know where it's written. Back to our pasuk. There's another interpretation in this pasuk, which you guys should just be aware of. There's another interpretation here that says, "Asher od bikshan afshi v'lo matzati, my soul searched and could not find Adam echad me'elef matzati." There were 1,000 kings who participated in building the Tower of Babel. And among them, there was one man who stood up to it all, and that was Abraham. And among all those kings, I couldn't find one wife who equaled Abraham's wife, Sarah. And according to that interpretation, he means to say there was a couple among the 1,000, and there was no equal to his wife. There was no equal to Sarah. And that's not a far-fetched, that's the Targum's interpretation of the pasuk. That Adam Achad Melef Matzati, I found one man among 1,000. That means I found Abraham among 1,000. Vishavech Oleile, and a woman among those 1,000 kings. Lo Matzati, I couldn't find a woman that was equal to Sarah. That's the Targum's interpretation of this pasuk. So that's worthwhile to know. Pasuk Chavtet. Levad Re'eze Matzati. Asher aso Elohim es hodom yoshol. One of the things I've seen in this world, says Shlomo HaMelech, God made man straight. Ve'heim avikshu chishevoinois rabim. But once he became a heima, once he became them, once he had a partner, so then suddenly they had all kinds of thoughts. Things weren't smooth anymore. So that's Rashi's interpretation here. So long as Adam was alone, he didn't sin. The Hema, once he became with a partner, Vikshu Chishvonot Rabim, then suddenly there were all kinds of thoughts and calculations why it was okay to eat from the forbidden fruit. And according to this, Shlomo HaMelech is saying there's a severe problem with this idea of God creating a helper for man, because this helper led him astray. So that's a very difficult interpretation, but that's Rashi's interpretation. Levad reize matzati. He says, even though this is what I've discovered, I want you to remember there are these limitations where the first woman did lead man astray. Now, this is an open message to every man. Very often, what? Right. That's the message. You have a choice. You have a responsibility.
She didn't put a knife or something to it and said, you know,
Well, there is a machlokas what Adam did when he sinned. Some learn that, that's what's mashma in the Medrash also, that she gave him to eat from the fruit without telling him it was the fruit. What the pasuk says, "Vatiten gam the isha ima vayochal." The Medrash says that he asked her, "What'd you just give me to eat? I feel different now." And then he suddenly realized she gave him from the forbidden fruit. According to the Medrash, he didn't know when he was eating it. And that's how some of the Rishonim learned. She fed him something without his knowing. So that's a little different. And then, according to that interpretation, his sin was in his reaction. She did something wrong, and he turned to God and said, you know, before she was here, I was doing all right. So he looked at her without appreciating all the good that she was for him. And he said, he had a lack of appreciation. His sin was in his lack of appreciation, which is mind-boggling, because they've been together for a few hours. Even if we go with the Medrash that she fathered his children, but he'd been in the world for a few hours and she caused him to die, and God holds it against him that he didn't have appreciation. What do you mean appreciation? She killed him. Ah, now he'll only live 930 years. But he could have lived for eternity. And yet it's held against him that he should have seen the good in her. And you see right away, he names her Chava. She's the source of life. He turns around and says, look what a wonderful partner I have in this world. But, so that's the way Rashi interprets it. And that, again, that gives us a certain responsibility, like the Be'er Heitev rites and the laws of Yom Tov, that part of the balance within a marriage is there's a certain responsibility a husband has to lovingly push things in the right direction. So a person can't just say, you know, she pulled me in that direction. Adam had an easy claim. Eve was saying, come have some of this fruit. And God had said, don't. That's very scary, especially if we go with the Medrash that says that Eve was seducing him with all this. That the discussion over the fruit is really a clean way to discuss her being seductive towards Adam. So she was using her feminine attraction to bring Adam closer to the sin. So there's that element too. The Medrash says, when the verse says, "Ein ha'etz asher b'toch hagan ela ha'isha," the tree in the garden that we're talking about is the woman herself. So the Medrash is telling us there's something else going on here. It's not just about a fruit. There's something else going on here. So coming back to here, the Pasuk is telling us a responsibility. Don't forget, we have a mitzvah to get married. And as Akiva mentioned earlier, man is not whole unless he's married. God created us in a way that we can only attain wholeness with our partner in life. But it gives us a certain responsibility within the relationship.